Translation by Srila Prabhupada. When one is enriched with wealth, knowledge, which are under his full control and by means of which he can perform yajna or please the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one must perform sacrifice, offering oblations to the fire sacrifice to the directions of the Shastra. In this way, one should worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Purport. If a Grihastha householder is sufficiently educated in Vedic knowledge and has become sufficiently rich to offer worship to please the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he must perform yajnas as directed by the authorized scriptures. Bhagavad Gita, chapter 3, text number 9, clearly says, Yagnanath kamano yatra lokayam karma bandhana. Everyone may be engaged in his occupational duties, but the result of this duty should be offered for sacrifice to satisfy the Supreme Lord. If one is fortunate enough to possess transcendental knowledge as well as money with which to perform sacrifice, one must do it according to the direction given in the Shastra. It is said in Srimad Bhagavatam, chapter Canto 12, chapter 3, text number 52. Kritiya dhyato vishnum tritayam yajna malika deva pari paricharyayam kalota dhari kirtanat. The entire Vedic civilization aims at satisfying the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This was possible in Satya Yuga by meditation upon the Supreme Lord within the core of one's heart. In Treta Yuga, by the performance of costly yajnas. The same goal could be achieved in Dwapara Yuga by worshipping the Lord in the temple. And in this age of Kali, one can achieve the same goal by performing the Sankirtan Yajna. Therefore, one who has education and wealth must use them to satisfy the Supreme Personality of Godhead by helping the Sankirtan movement that has already begun, the Hare Krishna movement or the Krishna consciousness movement. All educated and wealthy persons must join this movement, since money and education are meant for the service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. If money and education are not engaged in the service of the Lord, these valuable assets must be engaged in the service of Maya. The education of so-called scientists, philosophers, and poets is now engaged in the service of Maya, and the wealth of the rich is also engaged in Maya's service. The service of Maya, however, creates a chaotic condition in the world. Therefore, the wealthy men and the educated men should sacrifice their knowledge and opulence by dedicating them for the satisfaction of the Supreme Lord and join the Sankirtan movement. Yagnir Sankirtana Praye Yajanti He Sumaidashaha. Translation. When one is enriched with wealth and knowledge, which are under his full control, by means of which he can perform yajna or please the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one must perform sacrifice, offering oblation to the fire according to the direction of the Shastra. In this way, one should worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Om Jnana Timarandasya Jnanan Jnana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militan Jena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaham Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swamini Tinamine Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pasyata Desatarine Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadara Srivasadi Gaura Bhaktavindam Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. I'd like to take the permission of everyone. Don't feel very qualified to sit here. Some senior devotees. Vanchakalpa tribhishcha kripa sindubhyeva cha patitonam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha. So this chapter is mainly dealing with those in the householder ashram. 99% of the population will be in the grihastha ashram. We have the brahmacharis, far and few in between. We hardly see many saffron. So brahmacharis are very, very rare. And at the age of 25, or maybe later, Kali Yuga, things a little topsy-turvy, then they enter grihastha life. So grihastha life is where most of the mankind is situated in. So there's very, very elaborate explanations. There's very, very elaborate, detailed information given in the Shastra how to lead life in the grihastha life. Because grihastha life is not always the easiest. It comes with so much anxiety, comes with so much stress, so much difficulties. And it's not always easy to focus on the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Very, very easily, I've seen sometimes when young people get married, at least in the first few years, they get quite absorbed in their grihastha life. Naturally, we have to give a certain attention to that. No one is denying that. But as explained here in the Shastra, the center of grihastha life should be God, should be to worship Krishna. And in this particular situation, it is explained that the grihastha has to perform yajñas. Yajñas are a very integral part in keeping a nice, spiritual, homely atmosphere in life. So what is yajña? What does yajña mean? It comes from the word yaj. Yaj means to worship. Who do we worship? Do we worship our children? Do we worship our wife, our husband? Maybe we worship the one-eyed guru? No. The worship is directed towards the Supreme Lord Vishnu. So there are many different types of yajñas in the Shastra. There's much, much detailed explanations for yajñas. There's more than 400 yajñas one can perform. Those are just the very, very basic yajñas that can be performed. And there's different yajñas for different types of needs in grihastha life. Grihastha life, we have certain needs. We cannot deny that. And sometimes grihasthas, they perform some yajñas to try and get certain things. As we know, the demigods are in charge of giving. When we do yajñas, then they can give us. For example, if we do Agnihotra, if someone has some disease condition, if someone's health is not so good, if someone feels they have some sickness, then by performing Agnihotra or worshipping Agni through the yajña, then the result is that we can get some better health. There's yajñas that's for performing. If one wants a child, a male child, sometimes some family members are very particular. They only want a male child. So there's some injunction in the scriptures that if you perform a certain yajña, then one can obtain this, the Garbhodha Sanskar. And by performing these yajñas, then one can obtain one's desired goal. We see in the case of Maharaj Dasarath, he was the king. And for a king, it is very, very important that he has a son. Why is that? Because the son generally carries the inheritance or the kingdom of the king. And Maharaj Dasarath, even though he was a very pious, very elevated king, for some reason, he could not have any children. So he was advised by his guru Vasishtha that he has to perform a certain yajna, performed by a certain priest. And this priest has to be invited, and this priest has to be a Naishtiki brahmachari. In his life, he must have never seen a woman. And his father was very protective of his son, this priest, and he didn't want him to be allured away. He wanted him to stay forever in the brahmachari ashram. But it so happens that there was some means that was derived by Dasarath that he was allured away from his ashram, and he was brought to the kingdom of Ayodhya, and there he performed the yajna. And the yajna became fruitful. And then through the flames, a demigod came with the pot of nectar. And this nectar was given to Maharaj Dasarath, who distributed it through his three wives. And in turn, they got the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Ramachandra as their son, Bharat, Lakshman, and Shatrughna. So these are different types of yajnas. But the real enjoyer of the yajna, according to the Shastra, is Yajna Purusha. Who is this Yajna Purusha? That is Vishnu. Vishnu has many, many names. So another name for Vishnu is Yajna Purusha. One who is the enjoyer of the sacrifice. Even though there may be so many different kinds of sacrifices or yajnas, ultimately, Yajna Purusha, Vishnu, is to be the sole benefactor of that sacrifice. He is also known as Yajna Atma, which means he is the master of the yajnas. So there are different names of Vishnu, means one who enjoys the sacrifices. It is said that when the Brahmins pour the ghee into the fire, then the Lord licks the ghee around the Yajna Kund. So, in the purport, Srila Prabhupada is explaining that the Grihasthas, they have to perform some of these yajnas. Some of these yajnas, they can take 5 minutes. You can start the fire, chant some mantras. If you're pure enough, you can chant the mantras and boom, the fire will light up. If you're like me, then you'll need a match. 5 minutes, half an hour, and some sacrifices can take up to 1 year, and some sacrifices, they take a whole lifetime. There's places in India that once they start the yajna, the flame never dies. Constantly, the Brahmins are feeding Lord Vishnu through the fire, the ghee. Lord Vishnu likes ghee very much, so then he is given ghee constantly. So these are the different types of yajnas that is performed. And it is explained that when we achieve this rare human form of life, there are 16 basic yajnas one has to perform as a grihastha life. And some of them are the Garbhada sanskars, that when we want to invite a soul into the world, then we perform the Garbhada sanskar. When we have the name giving, then this is a yajna. We know that when Krishna was born, then Gargamuni was called, and there was a ceremony. Then there's the Annaprashna, when the child does what? Takes grains. Anna means food. So in this way, the Annaprashna, then there's the Bal Mundan, then removing of the hair. So all these different yajnas sanskars. Sanskar means to purify one's existence. So when we're in this world, the very moment we appear, the very moment we come into existence, we create some kind of karma by whatever actions we perform. So when we perform work, when we perform some kind of duty, then this creates a certain karma. So when we perform these yajnas, when we perform these sacrifices, then this eliminates that karma. So that is the general idea of the yajnas, is to eliminate our karma. That is why a lot of the grihastha, especially if they're into the karma kanda side of the grihastha life, then they get invited to perform yajnas, because this eradicates our karma. So when we perform these yajnas, for the devotee, the real yajna is what? It was in the purport. Chanting, that's right. It says here, Yagnir Sankirtana Praya Yajanti He Sumedashu. So even though there's recommendation for grihasthas to perform yajnas, the real yajna is chanting. I was told that when Srila Prabhupada was taking sannyas, they arranged the fire sacrifice and the Brahmins there were chanting. And as the Brahmins were chanting, Prabhupada wanted that they chant Hare Krishna more. So although the Brahmins were chanting, Srila Prabhupada was more inclined in chanting Hare Krishna at his sannyas yajna. So they wanted, Prabhupada wanted that more of this yajna sankirtan, of the Hare Krishna chanting, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, be performed. Because for us, this is the real yajna. And here, this is what is explained in the purport, that is the type of yajna that has to be performed. Srila Prabhupada explains in the purport that in Satya Yuga, the way God realization was performed was through meditation. So in those days, people lived for 100,000 years, a rather long time. And the way one would achieve God realization was through meditation. So we know the story of Valmiki. Valmiki, before he became a great rishi, he was a hunter. And every day he would go and he would hunt and he would kill. And then he would take the killings to his wife. So one day Narada Muni approached him. And Narada Muni said that you're incurring karma by killing these innocent animals. Do you not know you will suffer because of this? And then Valmiki gave his spill. He said, I'm a grihastha. I need to support my family, my wife, my kids. I don't want them to starve. He says, yeah, but you will have to suffer because the means of your livelihood is not very, very good. He goes, that's okay. My wife will take some of the karma. He goes, I don't think so. And Narada Muni said that. And then Valmiki said, of course she'll take some of my karma. Then Valmiki was told, go and ask your wife and see if she'll take the karma. So then Valmiki went and he asked his wife, I'm doing all this killing in order to maintain. I'm getting the skin, selling it and all sorts of things so I can support you. And this sage Narada Muni said, I will incur some karma. And I said that you will very kindly take some of my karma. Is that correct? And the wife said, no way, Jose, forget that. I'm not taking any of your karma. You're the man. You work for it. You support the family. That's the way it works. And then Valmiki was a bit surprised, a bit gutted. He said, "What?" He said, "But I'm doing it for you, love. I love you." He says, "No, I'm afraid not." So then, a little bit dejected, Valmiki went. And then he saw Narada Muni. He said, "Actually, you are right. My wife will not take the karma. I will have to suffer myself." Then Narada Muni said, "Okay, I can help you get rid of your karma. I want you to chant this name, Rama." And Valmiki said, "What? Mama? No, 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 Rama. Karma? No, 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 Rama." And for some reason, he could not pronounce this word. And then Narada Muni thought, and he said, "Can you say Mara?" What does Mara mean? Death. Of course, Valmiki was very used to death because he was always killing. He said, "Can you say Mara?" And then Valmiki said, yeah, I can say Mara, death, no problem. So then he said, "Okay, I want you to go and meditate and keep on repeating Mara. So shall we try this, see what happens? Mara, 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 Rama, 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 Rama." So by repeating Mara, 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 eventually it turned into Rama. Very clever. Sages are very, very clever. They know how to get around things. So he performed for 60,000 years chanting Mara, Mara. Then slowly, by chanting that, he turned to Rama, Rama. Of course, 60,000 years is a long time. We can barely sit in class for about half an hour. Come 8:30, we get, it's prasadam time, what's on the menu today? So 60,000 years, forget that one. Then, the next way of trying to perfect one's life, as explained here, in Treta Yuga is yagyas. So that brings us to this point. Now, when a yagya is performed, you need pure Brahmins. You need Brahmins who are chanting prayers. As you probably already know, I was getting my tongue twisted in chanting the Sanskrit. I admit, hands down, I'm not the best Sanskrit pundit. So you have to chant the prayers very, very nicely. Because if you chant one prayer wrong, you make one mistake, you can have an adverse effect. Now, what leela do we know from Bhagavatam this has happened? That's right. So just by chanting the mantra slightly wrong, then the result was different. And the utensils, as explained here in the purport, the utensils in the sacrifice, they have to be made from gold. Now, we all know, grihastas, how difficult it is to obtain gold. We didn't see any gold here on Saturday when we performed the yagyas. It is very, very hard to get this kind of materials. When Maharaj Yudhishthira was performing the Rajasurya yagya, his brothers went and collected gold because everything was made from pure gold. The bells, the plates, the pots. So, grihasthas, it would be very difficult to do this one. So, although there's some recommendation here to do yagyas here, really to perform it first class on a very, very high level, it's not easy. It's very, very difficult. Then, of course, then we go to the next yuga, which is the Dwarpa Yuga, and in there we have the archana, the worship. What a coincidence. Shishirada Gokulananda ki. So, worshipping the beautiful Archa Vigraha form is also very, very essential in Grihastha life. So, for those who are in the Grihastha life, having the form of the deity in one's house is very, very important because that focuses the family towards Krishna, towards God. And again, worshipping the deities according to the Vedas is very, very hard as well. It's not easy. Again, you've got to be in a very, very elevated consciousness. You know, technically speaking, if you're supposed to do Asha Vigraha in the purest form, you've got to worship the bell before you use it. You've got to worship the floor before you bring the deities. You've got to do so many different things. And it can get very, very complicated, and we can get very easily lost in the rules and the regulations. So although we have the Asha Vigraha deities, that is for us to focus on, really, Srila Prabhupada told us, in our state, we kind of see them as Lakshmi Narayan, because we're not, at least myself I can say, we're not on that elevated platform where our bhakti is 100% pure to accept this worship on the Radha Krishna level. And then it brings us to this point whereby in Kali Yuga, if you perform this Sankirtan Yajna, then this is the means by we can attain perfection. So here Srila Prabhupada is explaining that if you have any education and if you have any wealth, we have to utilize that in the service of this yajna, this Sankirtan Yajna. So what does it mean when you have education? How would you use that in Sankirtan Yajna? Here in the purport, Prabhupada gives a little hint that this transcendental knowledge is very, very rare. It is not easy to obtain this knowledge. We can just take a general look. 99% of people, as explained in the purport, are in Maya, or they use their assets in trying to build the empire or their attachments. Very, very few people use the education or the wealth in the Sankirtan Yajna. So those who have this transcendental knowledge, it behooves them, it is their duty, it is their compassionate nature that they want to give this Sankirtan to others. So if you have this knowledge, don't keep it to yourself. If you have this information, then you can share it. Imagine if you had a cure for cancer. Cancer is taking so many people's life. I remember when I was a child in the 70s growing up, cancer wasn't such a big thing. It was for people who smoked or people who had dope or whatever. But nowadays, it seems like everyone is getting cancer. And sometimes it is understood that cancer you get when you're a bit older. But I'm seeing people at the age of 20, the age of 25 getting cancer. So if you had a cure for cancer, and if you keep it to yourself, is that good? You have to give it to others. So that's what Prabhupada means, that if you have this education, if you're getting trained up as a preacher, they don't keep it to yourself. The two types of sadhus, the bhajanandis, and so the bhajanandis are interested in trying to purify themselves, trying to make themselves Krishna conscious. But then the others, the Gosyanandis, they are compassionate, paradukhida. They see the suffering of others. In this particular situation, we see how Prahlad Maharaj sees the suffering of his father. And in this way, he felt compassionate and he wanted to help him. And he asked Nrisimhadev so that he can also get a chance. So if we have education, then we can try and use that if you have the knowledge. But however, the next part, if we have wealth, that's a little bit more harder. Generally, when we have some form of money, it is not very easy to let go. Money, wealth, opulence, it sticks to you very, very close. People are very attached to their money. They don't want to part with it. So Prabhupada said it's very, very rare that someone wants to use their Lakshmi or their money in propagating this Sankirtan Yajna. And if you can do that, that is such a wonderful service. If you have the knowledge, if you become a millionaire, sort of, then you can use that in spreading this Sankirtan Yajna. And by doing so, then the Lord will protect you. The Lord will guide you in every way. This particular verse that's here in the purport, which is from the Bhagavad Gita, chapter 3, text 9, which says, anyone can remember? So in that particular lecture, Prabhupada explains that if you actually sacrifice, because the yajna also means you sacrifice your life to God, then God will protect you. And Prabhupada explains in his own personal experience, he saw this. And he gave an example that in 1912, you could purchase rice 1 kilo for 3 rupees. He said you can go to the market and you can purchase rice for 3 rupees and you would get 1 kilo. I'm not sure if it's basmati or what, but you would get some rice. However, in 1940, if you know your history in India, there was a big famine. And in this famine, there was a shortage of rice. So that rice, which was 3 rupees, became 10 rupees. Of course, we think 10 rupees, I can buy that. But talking back many, many years, when 1 rupee was worth a lot. So he said that 1 kilo of rice became 10 rupees. And he said very, very, very few people could afford it. He said, by the grace of Krishna, because I had my business, I could somehow or another purchase and maintain my family. However, Prabhupada explains that many people died. Many hundreds of people died. And after the famine somewhat was controlled, Prabhupada, being very compassionate, he went to a lot of the sadhus and he says, during the famine, were you okay? Were you fed? And the sadhu says, yeah, we were looked after. And he personally said, Prabhupada, he went to many, many different sadhus and he was asking, how was it in the famine? Did you manage to get something to eat? And each place he went to, the sadhu said, yes, we were looked after. Then Prabhupada came to the understanding that if you sacrifice your life to God, no matter what happens, you come under the direct protection of God. So that is what's needed. That the real yajna means that we sacrifice everything to God. So in this world, we all have to work. And through work, we get a certain karma or action or reaction. This can only be eradicated if we sacrifice to the Supreme Lord. And this is done by obtaining knowledge from the Shastra. Supposing you were in prison, you were stuck there year after year after year. And then one of the inmates came up to you and gave you a foolproof plan how to escape the prison. Would you want to take that plan? So what is that plan? That plan is the Shastra. We are stuck in this place, Durga. And the Shastra is the plan how we can get out of this material world. So, through education, the Shastra, through sacrificing one's life, because one must have that understanding and that faith that if we sacrifice, if we give Atmanivedanam, then everything, all our needs will be taken care of. It's a tall order. It's not easy. That's why it comes last. Shravanam, Kirtanam, after all the different processes, which one comes the last? Atmanivedanam. It's not easy. I might waffle here and talk about it. I'm certainly not on that level. But we have to try and come and achieve that position. And once we achieve that position, then no matter what kind of a situation we are, then the Lord personally takes care of us. And we see that in the case of Draupadi. When Draupadi was being tugged by Dushasan, Dushasan was very powerful. When they were trying to disrobe her, she was also a Kshatriya, and she was trying to hold on with one hand and fight Dushasan. I want my sari, you can't take it off. And the other hand, she was trying to surrender to Govinda. So then, one hand she was trying to surrender, and the other hand she was trying to hold on, thinking she has control. But still, she was becoming weaker. She could not face the might of Dushasan. Finally, she had to let go. And then both her hands went up. When she did Atma Nivedanam, only then did the sari incarnation of Krishna come. When she was still holding on to attachment, thinking that she is the doer, no. When she let go, then the Lord came and protected us. So in conclusion, it is said that although we have so many different obligations to people, to our pitros, to our devas, to mankind, all this can be easily eradicated if we surrender to Mukunda. There's that verse in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Deva Rishi, how does it go? Yeah. And the name of Krishna is used, Mukunda. There could have been many names, Govinda, Gopala, Krishna. Why the word Mukunda is used? Because what does Mukunda mean? One who gives liberation. So the idea is that if we surrender to Mukunda, these obligations are not necessary for us, then Mukunda will liberate us. And in conclusion, there's a story, Sridhar Maharaj, the original commentator on Srimad Bhagavatam. So he had a calling to be spiritual, and then at the same time he had a responsibility to his grihastha life. And he just had a child, and the child was just born, and the mother was crying after the child was born. The baby was crying after its birth. So there was two cryings going on. And of course, this is a very elevated situation. So then, at the same time, he had a calling that he had to go and serve Krishna. But at the same time, he felt that there was some crime coming from this situation. So he was pulled this way, and he turned to God, what should I do? Because he knows he was going to get tangled up. He had a certain calling towards God. Then he turned around, and in his household life, he saw there was a spider. And then the spider came and took a fly and fed it to the baby. So then from that he drew the conclusion that actually the Lord is looking after everything. The Lord looked after the spider giving the fly. So if I surrender to Krishna, then the crying mother and baby will be looked after. Because ultimately, when I surrender, then the Lord will take care of my other situation. And how do we know that? We know that because when Prahlad was liberated, his father was also saved. Thank you very much. Grantara Srimad Bhagavatam ki. Thank you.